Lord, we pray that let your word be a lamp unto our feet, Lord, and a light to our path. Lord, hide it in our heart, Lord, that we may treasure it, Lord, that we may not sin against you. Amen. All right. Then gospel reading, Bracken had there as part of the Sermon on the Mount. Would you read out of Matthew? Is that what you said, Matthew? Okay. Matthew chapter 5 through 7, and the Sermon on the Mount, you know, which is really we call it that, and it's just part of the teachings of the kingdom of God, which Jesus, you know, that's what he did. He went and preached the kingdom. But his time here was 3 years, and the guys went out and preached the kingdom, and when he resurrected and came to live in them, they continued to preach the kingdom. So these are kingdom principles, I realize, because they're radical. But, you know, this is Luke chapter 6 also, and has a version of this. And I think Mark 11 some is about where you see the Lord's Prayer. I think it's Mark 11 or Luke 11. So, in other words, he didn't just go preach this for one time and that was it. This is part of what he was talking about all the time. But really, this teaching here is awesome because as a part of a kingdom principle, if moving forward in the Lord, you know, when he's part of the verses he read, I've heard used many times and some kind of misquoted a little bit. It's just kind of put fear in people's hearts. Like on that day, you know, he's going to say, hey, I never knew you, you know, out of here, you know. And these people that were doing just the power of the name of Jesus, right? A lost person can use the name Jesus is powerful, right? Demons will shudder at that. But the whole thing here was, you never knew me. You know, we never knew each other. You were never really born again. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. But just the part here of Jesus talking about, he who hears these words of mine and then acts upon them solidifies you. Like when storms come and when they come, not if they come, when they come, you just kind of are rooted and grounded because this is the part of the kingdom teaching. And, you know, part of that too, I've been spending some time here. We went over it Tuesday night in our Bible study. But, you know, the narrow gate, you know, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And Jesus talked about narrow is the way that leads to life and fewer that find it. One thing the Lord was just kind of showing me in this time we're in, our language that we use around here a lot, you know, Mother's Day, we know there was for us, a real shift in the spirit. The Lord was just doing something, you know. It's like a real move of the Lord. And we see that happen throughout history, different revivals where there's a real move of God, move of the spirit, you know, from all of them. You know, one of the most recent ones was Brownsville, if y'all remember that. I think that was down in Pensacola or somewhere, Brownsville Church. Assembly of God, whatever, big move of the Spirit. But anytime the Lord is moving in our lives and he's taking you or me, because it has to happen individually first. And if you're going, and the way I see it, he was showing it to me, is like we use the terms like going into different rooms. I had a dream about that, going into different rooms. the chambers of God's heart, or however we want to see that. You know, Song of Solomon chapter 1, when the Christian or the bride cries out, you know, draw me after you and let us run together. And it says that the king has brought me into his chambers, into his heart, into places. So there are places where God will move you in your walk with him and to bigger rooms. But this was an interesting vision he gave me, because as I was moving through or seeing bigger rooms, the rooms were bigger, but the doors to enter that room would get smaller, right? So the room's bigger, door smaller, or more narrow. And another room would be bigger room, the door would even be more narrow, you know, for you to get through there. Basically, what he was saying was, to go into another room or to go into a different place in your own personal walk with him, there are just some things you just can't take with you in there, you know? It's like trying to go, you got a handful of stuff and you're trying to get through this door and you're having to try to turn. The only thing you can do to get through it is drop them and then go through there. And being one of the biggest things that he talks about, especially here in Matthew, this sermon is kind of find it at the end of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. It's a great prayer. You know, we always do that. We do that every day here at communion. A great prayer to pray. Model prayer. Yeah, I guess so. But Jesus said, say these words, you know. So really, but it's really cool. You're not doing anything wrong. It's not vain repetition to say something like that, because the same people who say vain repetition say the same thing all the time in other things, you know. So it's about just the heart and of the issue. So when I pray that prayer, I know that I'm praying a prayer, you know, and it's a cool one. But people kind of stop at the end and they don't keep going, because what he says right after that is extremely important, because we say in the prayer, God, forgive me of the debts that I owe you, the same way that I forgive people who have debts against me, right? It says this, forgive us as we are the same way that we forgive others, right? Forgive me, put it in our terms, because we don't usually use those kind of words. Lord, forgive me the same way that I forgive others, right? Think about saying that. God, I want you to forgive me the exact same way that I forgive other people that offend me, right? That is that's a hard one. Good word to that, because one of the things, if you look at it like I look at it like a carrying a broom or a stick or something like that, you're trying to get through this door and you just keep wham, you can't, you know. Because the word forgiveness here comes from two words to mean to release and send away. Two Greek words. Release, I release you, and I send you away. You're released of the debt, and go. You owe me nothing, right? The way we would want God to always forgive us, right? That we were forgiven, okay? He releases us, let it go. But it says here at the very end, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Kind of end it there. Then he goes on, for if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father won't forgive you, right? So let's put it in other terms. So if you don't release other people and send them away, neither will I release you and send you away. Meaning, and Jesus kind of, if you want to go read Matthew chapter 18, kind of expounds a little more on this about the guy who owed this tremendous debt to this Lord, or the Lord of the manor, landowner, equivalent to our day would be, you know, billions of dollars, right? Hundreds of billions, even, you know, some people say it could be close to $1 trillion. And the guy wanted it, the Lord of the manor wanted his repayment right then, pay it now. And the guy said, I can't. There's no way I have that kind of money. Nobody does. And he said, okay, I release you from the debt. I release you, and I'm sending you away. So that same guy went out, and the guy owed him maybe what would equivalent in our wages to maybe a month's pay or a couple of weeks' pay. He wanted his money. The guy couldn't do it. And so instead of sending him away and releasing him, he had him put in jail, you know, because he couldn't pay him. So this first guy heard about it, came and said, wasn't really good conversation they had with him. And he tells him this, you know, I'm going to paraphrase this, that if you don't forgive from the heart, release from the heart, then tormentors will be there around you, all right? Tormentors in the sense of, it never leaves you. Tormentor would be something like we have here in the South, if you noticed, if you hadn't been here, but gnats, you know, these gnats that kind of fly around your eye, you know, wet, or just gnats during the summer, you just swatting them, they just don't go away, or mosquitoes or something. That's the way the torment, they just never leave. Meaning, like, anger or bitterness or resentment or what that person did to me, it just never leaves me. The memory, it's just always around you. Just always the rejection of that stays with you. Rejection's another tormentor, right? If you deal with any kind of rejection, that's a tormentor that kind of stays with you. The conversations in your mind. I don't know if any of you have ever dealt with this before, right? Meaning that I'm not released from that. So it's a real powerful, the most powerful thing we do in our loving with other people is be people who are quick to forgive and quick to release, because we're the ones set free. Get it? We say this all the time, TC and I heard it years ago. It's probably been around forever. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. His truth has been true forever, right? That unforgiveness is a poison we drink thinking that it affects someone else, right? In our relationships, especially you see it more, you know, with the people closer to you in home, you know, if you, husband and wife, if, you know, they want to offend you or hurt you, and you just get mad at them and just, you know, arm's length or shun them or get upset and you just kind of stay in there, you know, and the way you treat them, right? I remember early on in our marriage, I did that a lot, and thinking that I was really justified in it, right? I was right. By gosh, I was right, and you're wrong, and so I'm just going to, you know, treat you that way. And never forget, man, when the Lord just really started speaking to me about some stuff, about that, and really correcting me. To this day, I really have to watch it that I don't, because I internalize stuff. Some people can just easily get stuff off of them. I internalize things. I have to really be careful with that, right? And what the Lord said is you're just, all you're doing is withholding mercy. Matthew chapter 7 is all about the most misquoted scripture that people use out there is, don't be judging me, don't judge me. You know, the whole context of what he's talking about there is being in the place of a judge where you're saying what a person deserves and doesn't deserve, whether they deserve mercy or they don't deserve mercy. That's what he was saying, don't do. There's one judge. God is the only judge. And we don't stand in that place of him. In other words, we don't withhold mercy and forgiveness to a person, right? Because then we say a lot about ourselves. Either we don't realize how big of a sinner we are, right? That we need a revelation of that. How much we sin, you know? Something is just messed up in our thinking. So it's really important that if we're going to go, especially in this next season that God has for us, in this next really anointed place, that we are not harboring attitudes with anyone, right? That our hearts are clean in that sense. That we're forgiven. We're not holding on to any offense, right? It can be stuff from years back. You know what I'm saying? Just recent or with anybody, you know. And the closer your circle gets, the easier it is to for that to happen, right? Doesn't mean that you have to go tell the people, you know. I've had that happen tons of times where people just say, you know, or hear about that all the time where somebody's had, you know, some things you can just clear up with you and the Lord. I just forgive and let that go. You don't actually have to go to that person. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you do, but sometimes it's not always necessary to do that. So this is a real important word for us, personally, corporately, as we move into this next season, is that we're not doing that. Because you're not going to be able to get through the door, right? You're not going to be able to go into this next larger room and still carry what I had in this now. I can't move with attitudes with my against my, when I mean brother, sister, and that includes family, husband, wife, you know, minister, whatever, brother, sister, right? Because it's never justified. And you're the one that's just really, you get to experience the freedom of that, you know? So cool when I see people and pray for people and they can just let go of tormentors that they've had for years of something that really happened to them. People, it really happened, right? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying our response to that is a big deal. So the more empty I am, the more God can fill, right? So I've just been spending time here just reading through some of these principles of the kingdom. That's just one of them. So many in here, you know, that the Lord is just really kind of a challenging. And so this is a real important time in our history. You know, I'm just sending a newsletter out about being in Christ, you know, just a little small word about, you know, the uncertainty of our world and our times. You know, you and I are in this great place of seated in the heavenly places in Christ, right? We're good. And but we want this, the outpouring of the Spirit of God in our own lives, we really want. I know I want. I want to go into larger rooms and experience all that God has for me. And even though it might be a tight squeeze getting in that door, I want to be able to fit through that door, you know. And I want to let go and drop and anything that I've been carrying around with me, especially any attitude. I don't want to become so familiar with it and that I've just learned to live with it, right? I want it out. We can become so familiar with something, we just learn to live with it. And Timothy talks about that in the book of Timothy, about a man cleansing himself. You know, houses, gold, there's some good things and bad things. Furniture, you know, talking about the inside of a person's house, you got, you know, expensive stuff, non-expensive stuff. But it says if a man cleanses himself from these things, he'll be used and useful. You know, the whole thing is about letting God just do a house cleaning for us. You know, I was going to use a different passage, but I'm going to wait till next week or Sunday or sometime to do that. And out of 2 Corinthians 7, and just what it's really supposed to produce in us when God shows us these things, it produces a greater zeal and earnestness and desire for the things of God. It's not condemning us. It has nothing to do with that. It's doing whatever it takes to get into this room of more, right? And it's always worth it. You're trading up. You're trading a grain of rice for a diamond, you know? So worth it. Amen.